Hello, and thank you, everyone. Thank you for coming in on this. In the USA, it's a 3-day weekend, and so this is the middle of 3 days of, you know, typical vacation time and family time for the, so those of you who have come into the sanctuary tonight, or those of you who happen to be listening on the radio, thank you very much for taking this time out from your 3-day weekend to be with us. I appreciate that. Tonight, oh, you know what? I just realized I'm not prepared. I usually have the link open so that I can share the link before the song, the link of the link of the journal entry that goes with the quote that I'm going to be discussing. And actually, when I sat down and started Pal Talk and started my recorder, I seem to be having memory problems, so I closed everything down in order to free up some memory, and as a result, I don't have the link. So what I will do is play the song, and I'll reopen the internet and get that link while the song is playing. But I was in the mood for something very light and something very fun and yet something very meaningful. You know, if you listen to the words of this song, they are as one of the songs that I've played before the seven steps. But gosh, I really felt like something fun and light. So I've picked a Disney song to get us started tonight. And that Disney song is called The Bare Necessities. So here we go. The Bare Necessities from Disney.
Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, or Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found out my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Thank you.
just try and relax. Cool it. Fall apart in my backyard. Because let me tell you something, little Bridget. If you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. When you find out you can live without it and go along not thinking about it, I'll tell you something true. The bare necessities of life will come to you.
And as Ken has pointed out, that was Phil Harris, which means it was a bear named Phil. And we actually have another bear named Phil that is going to be following me. When I finish, Phil Humble Pooh Bear will be on. So tonight is the Phil Bear night, I guess, here. Yeah, but I was in the mood to hear that song. So thank you, everyone, for humoring me. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. And, of course, while the song was playing, I went and got the link. So I've just provided you all with the link to my journal, 731. And what I will do is read from the Seven Steps to Awakening, quote 731. If something comes to say about it after I read, I will. But eventually, maybe soon, maybe later, we will make it to my journal and we'll find out what I wrote as I contemplated quote 731 back in 2013. So let me read quote 731 to you out of the Seven Steps to Awakening. When the ego sense dies, ignorance perishes, and that is known as liberation. When the ego sense dies, ignorance perishes, and that is known as liberation. And in a way, you could say this quote is defining the word liberation. Oh, Lynn Castaldo is saying, do you want me to post your website as new people come in? But actually, Lynn, now that you're not an admin, you can't. It won't let you. So hopefully Lynn Johnson will be taking care of posting that. But thank you for the offer. What I'll do is I'll just post it one more time. There you go. All right, so this quote seems to be defining liberation. Again, the quote is, when the ego sense dies, ignorance perishes, and that is known as liberation. But I remember when I was in elementary school, I think my memory actually comes from sixth grade, though I may have felt this way before sixth grade. But I remember in sixth grade, Mrs. Bass was my sixth grade teacher. By the way, she was my favorite teacher. Mrs. Bass, of all my years of school, was my very favorite teacher. So even though I'm going to tell a story right now about how she frustrated me one day, the truth is she was my very favorite teacher. I loved Mrs. Bass. But one day, there was some word in something that we were doing, some word in our homework that I didn't know what it meant. And so I went up to the front of the room. Mrs. Bass was at her desk. We were all doing kind of individual work at the time. And I went up to her desk and I asked her what this word meant. And she told me to go look it up in the dictionary. We had this huge dictionary in the back of the room. And I went and looked it up in the dictionary. And the definition was using other words. And I didn't know what they meant. And Mrs. Bass wouldn't help me. She just wanted me to keep looking stuff up to figure it out. And I thought that was really frustrating. You know, she could have just told me what the word meant and I could have gone on. But, you know, for some people, that may be the case here. That may be the case here with 731 because it's defining liberation. But it says when the ego sense dies, ignorance perishes. and that is known as liberation. But if you don't know what the ego sense is, and you don't know what the death of the ego sense is, and you don't know what ignorance is, then you still don't know what liberation is. And I'm not going to be like Mrs. Beth. I'm not going to make you go to the back of the room where that great big dictionary is and keep looking stuff up. I think I'm going to talk about what each of these different things are. I'll make it easier on you. And some of this you probably already know the answer to. At least ego sense, because I think almost every week here in the Seven Steps to Awakening, I define what that ego sense is. That ego sense is the belief that I am this person, right? That I am this person. So in my case, that I am Regina. That is the ego sense. The ego sense is the sense of this me that is very definitely here, and it is not you. It's also not the cup I'm holding in my hand. It's not the microphone I'm speaking into. Ah, and I just had a nice drink of tea. You and the cup that I'm holding in my hand, the microphone that I'm talking into, you guys are not me, right? So me and not me. And the me, which enables the me and not me, that is the ego sense. So when this particular quote says, when the ego sense dies, what it's referring to is that strong sense of me and not me. When that dies, when that ends, when I begin to see myself from a different perspective, a perspective that is not so local. And by local, I mean, you know, again, we define me as from the skin in, right? And that's very, very local. When there is a sense of me that is not so local. In fact, one analogy that I really love is the analogy of the crystal ball. If you think of the crystal ball itself as consciousness, and then inside of the crystal ball are the worlds, all of the worlds, you know, this dimension, other dimensions, what we might call pre-life, post-life, all of the worlds are inside of the crystal ball, right? Bye, Chris. And then if you go into that crystal ball and look around, you can find this one little bitty body called Regina. And the ego sense is thinking I'm that one little bitty body inside the crystal ball with everything else. When the ego sense is dead, I do not see myself as that one little bitty body inside of the crystal ball. I see myself as the crystal ball itself and everything within it, right? The sense of me expands and I am everything, right? I am the crystal ball, I am consciousness itself, and I am every manifestation of consciousness, right? Because I am consciousness. And again, another example I like to use is the example of Play-Doh. You know, if we take Play-Doh and we build cities and cars and trees and dogs and people, you know, the ego sense is, see that little Play-Doh person right there with the cute skirt on? That's me. Right? That's me. Death of the ego sense is seeing myself as the Play-Doh. I am the Play-Doh itself, whether that Play-Doh is forming a mini-me, forming a city, or whether it's unformed, it's just still just a lump of Play-Doh that hasn't formed anything. I am the Play-Doh. So when the ego sense dies, I no longer see myself as this me that also includes a lot of not-me's, right? A lot of not me's if there's a me. Everything outside of the skin is not me. So again, the quote says, when the ego sense dies, and then the next part is, ignorance perishes. I don't think I spend as much time defining ignorance here. So let me define ignorance. Ignorance is the belief that form is reality, and really the only reality, you know, but form is reality. That is ignorance. So if we go back to the Play-Doh analogy, and remember, out of Play-Doh we've made several cities, several trees, several cars, several dogs, several people, you know, made all kinds of things. It's the belief that they are reality. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing, because you could argue, and I would not argue against you, you could argue that there are buildings here and trees here and people here and dogs here. You can say, look, they're here. And I can agree with that. But if I am not ignorant, if I see clearly, it's like I'm playing a game with you when I agree that there are buildings and trees and people and dogs. Because what I really see is Play-Doh. There's a lot of Play-Doh here, right? That's what I see as Play-Doh. But I have the eyes, I have the body's eyes, and so I can see that this Play-Doh is in the form of a person, so you're calling it a person, and that this Play-Doh is in the form of a tree, so you're calling it a tree. I can see that, but to me it's all Play-Doh, and to you it's a person, it's a tree, it's a building, it's a dog, right? So ignorance is being focused on the form, as if the form is the reality, and really missing the essence, in the analogy, missing the Play-Doh, totally overlooking the Play-Doh, and just seeing the person, the dog, the tree, the building. That is ignorance. And the only thing wrong with ignorance, there's nothing wrong with ignorance. Ignorance just allows you to play the game more deeply. It's like a deeper level of imagination, where you're so into the game, you know, you've forgotten reality, and so you get to play the game more deeply. You're really into it. You know, you got your head in the game, right? And some people would call that a positive aspect. You got your head in the game. So there's the only thing, if there's anything wrong with ignorance, the only thing that's wrong with ignorance is that when you believe that form is reality, you suffer. You suffer because there are so many things that are so important. For example, if I can see that the buildings and the trees and the dogs and the people are Play-Doh, then if something comes along, like, you know, we'll call it the motion of an earthquake or an asteroid hitting the earth, if something comes along and picks up all that Play-Doh and lumps it back into Play-Doh, you know, I see that nothing real was lost, the Play-Doh's here, and it can reform other things, right? But if you think that the trees and the people and the buildings and the dogs, that they were reality, and then that weather or asteroid comes along, or that earthquake comes along and scoops it up and destroys it, you know, you think something terrible has happened. You think something is really, really lost. You don't see that there was no Play-Doh at all lost in that motion, and that the Play-Doh can now just reform into something else. You know, so because of the confusion about what is real, what happens is that you suffer. You know, you suffer. And usually we suffer with much less than what I just described. I mean, you know, an asteroid hasn't hit the earth in my lifetime, and not blow the earth out of orbit and destroy us all, right? That hasn't happened. And yet I have suffered in this lifetime. And the vast majority of things that I've suffered over, I can't even recall. That's how unimportant they are and they were. I just didn't know it at the time, and I suffered. They're long forgotten now. So the problem with ignorance, again, the problem with taking form for reality, especially this form that we call me, and anything that we call mine, which is kind of an extension of me, the problem with that level of ignorance is that we suffer. And that's exactly why The death of the ego sense and the end of ignorance is liberation. You see, when there is no more me who believes that form is real, when that little mini me, that little Play-Doh girl in the cute skirt, is no longer seen as me, and I no longer take form as real, I have shifted now where I see myself as the Play-Doh itself, I see myself as consciousness itself, I cannot suffer. I can't. Things can still change. Things can still come and go. But I cannot suffer anymore because my mind is clear on what is real and what is not real. What is true and what is not true. And so that's why it is defined as liberation. Right? It's liberation from suffering. You can also call it liberation from ignorance, liberation from falsehood. But really, it's liberation from suffering. So, again, this is what quote 731 says. When the ego sense dies, ignorance perishes, and that is known as liberation. So I'm going to go to my journal now, and I'll post the link again. I'm going to go to my journal now and read what I wrote when I was contemplating this on June 4th, 2013. How does the ego sense die? Let go of self-thought. Have no interest in it. How does the ego sense die? Let go of self-thought. Have no interest in it. To use the language of A Course in Miracles, because in this case I think the language of A Course in Miracles is really, really powerful. A Course in Miracles refers to us as the Son of God. And that's very powerful, that term, Son of God. You know, Son of God meaning really the extension of God or the same as God. And therefore, the Son of God would have the same powers that God would have. So it's a very powerful term, the Son of God. And it refers to us as the Son of God, which means what A Course in Miracles is telling us is that we have power far beyond the power that we imagine we have when we think of ourselves as the little me, the little Play-Doh person, or the little person inside the crystal ball. And if you look at the fact that that you are the Son of God, if you look at the fact, if you look at that term and think of the power that that term is implying, then it's not hard to understand that whatever you focus on, you are giving power to. Because, in effect, as the Son of God, you are power. Your power itself, your living power. And so whatever you give your attention to, you give power to. So in the mind, and maybe even in the brain, there's this looping action of thought. And that looping action of thought, in one way or another, the specific stories seem to change with current events for some of us. Some of us stay stuck in things that happened 30, 40 years ago. For most of us, I think it's more related to current events. But the looping thought is about me. You know, what does Dove think of me? Oh, good. He wrote, I love it. Oh, good. Dove thinks my teaching is good. At least I hope that's what he means. What if Dove doesn't mean that? What if I'm misunderstanding Dove? What if Dove doesn't like my teaching? Oh no, what about Teddy? Oh my God, I don't even want to read what Teddy wrote. Teddy probably doesn't like my teaching. Oh my God, what is Teddy saying? He says, what Jesus says is whatever you can envision, you can make manifest. Is Teddy agreeing with me? Is Teddy disagreeing with me? You hear all that thinking? You know, it appears maybe, you know, if you're distracted, it appears to be thinking about Dove and thinking about Teddy, but it's not. It's thinking about me. And that's what the mind does all day long. Me, 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 me. Now, this attention that is constantly focused, constantly lost in me, is the power of the Son of God. Think about that. Think about how I am inflating the ego sense with the power of the Son of God by constantly being mindlessly focused on that me, me, me chatter. And also, I would say it's just logical. It is going to be very difficult for the me, the ego sense, to die if the power of the Son of God is constantly inflating it, constantly blowing life into it, constantly breathing life into it. You know, it's kind of like we have this blow-up doll. Let's go to another analogy now. Instead of a crystal ball, instead of Play-Doh, we have little inflatable toys, right? And I'm constantly blowing into the inflatable toy. And the good news is, if I take my attention off of the inflatable toy for a moment, this inflatable toy doesn't have a plug. Which means if I turn my attention away for a moment, you know, let's say I'm not focused on me for a time, I'm focused on the heart, a little bit of wind gets to escape because there is no plug for this inflatable toy. But boy, if I, as soon as that focusing on the heart ends, I immediately let all of my attention go back to those thoughts about me, I'm right back to, and I just replace any air that was lost. You know, I'm just replacing the air. And that toy, that little mini me, is so puffed up. And this is why I think, I mean, I don't know why really A Course in Miracles says what it does. Maybe Helen, who directly received it, if she was here, could really tell us. We all, you know, go within and we get the meaning it has for us now, but we don't know what it really meant for Helen when Helen wrote it down. But I think, at least this is the meaning it has for me, that this is why A Course in Miracles seems to talk about meditation as if it's not the way. Because I think that for most people, meditation is 20 minutes or an hour or possibly 2 hours a day of hopefully focusing on the heart in some way, you know, focusing on awareness, something like that, watching the thoughts, just being the presence, whatever, right? And during that time, there's some air escapes out of the little doll, right? But then for most people who meditate, once they, you know, as the saying goes, once they get off of that cushion, they return immediately to the thought stream and they immediately replace the air. They blow it right back in. So what A Course in Miracles is offering us, and A Course in Miracles isn't the only path that offers us this to us. In fact, the teachings of Inner Ramana offers this to us. The teachings of Ramana Maharshi offers this to us. The teachings of even Buddhism, when heard with the right ear, offers this to us. Like if you look at Adyashanti's teaching of true meditation, right? So the Course is one of many. But one thing that the Course offers to us is the ability to, or actually not the ability, it offers us the opportunity to keep our attention away from the me, even during daily life, when I can't be sitting on a cushion meditating. So while I'm at my job, while I'm with my family, while I'm watching the news, right? The Course, properly understood, at least in my humble opinion, the Course, properly understood, is about forgiveness, and forgiveness is about not focusing attention on the mini me, not being caught up in my opinions, my worries, my ideas about who you are, my thinking. And in fact, the Course offers us something other than my thinking, which the Course calls the ego thought system. The Course offers us something else to turn our attention to, which is the ego thought system. And the ego thought gives each of us a different intuitive guidance in the moment about where to focus our attention so that we're not focused on the mini me. And again, the Course isn't the only thing that does this. If you look at the teachings of Inner Ramana, this is what the teachings of Inner Ramana is all about. The teachings of Inner Ramana with the practice of surrender, the mantra, the self-inquiry, it's all about taking attention off of those looping thoughts about me, 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 me. If we practice meditation, and I still think that, you know, meditation is a wonderful practice. Meditation is such a concentrated time of not being absorbed in me, me, me thinking, right? If we practice meditation, but then when we, quote, get up from the cushion, we immediately shift into the teachings of Inner Ramana or A Course in Miracles or NTI or the teachings of Ramana Maharshi or the mindfulness teaching of Buddhism or the Loving All Method teachings of Michael Langford or something else that goes with you into the world and also helps to keep attention off of the mini me, then a lot more air can escape from that little blow-up doll. So again, just to kind of bring us back to where we are, we're looking at quote 731 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. And the quote is, when the ego sense dies, ignorance perishes, and that is known as liberation. And we're looking at my journal entry as I contemplated that quote. And my journal entry is, how does the ego sense die? Let go of self-thought. Have no interest in it. And notice this particular journal entry doesn't tell you how to do that. And there are different options for how to not be lost in that looping me, me, me thinking. But what the journal entry is telling us is that if we want to let this ego sense die, we have to let the air out of that inflatable doll, which means we have to quit blowing air into it. And see, that's deflate too, unless you're one of those lucky ones and your little inflatable doll's kind of bopping across somewhere and suddenly gets hit by who knows what, some invisible truck, and it's popped. These are what people call these spontaneous awakenings. I wasn't even on a spiritual path and the whole inflatable doll popped. Apparently that happens for some people. But to just sit around and wait for that invisible truck to pop, because again, as long as you have the ego sense intact and you have ignorance intact, you suffer. And so if you're not the one right now who's having this spontaneous pop, something pops your doll and that's it, it's all blown up and it can't have air in it again. Boy, that's nice, but you know, it just doesn't happen that way for all of us. Then it's better for you to be in the practice of letting blow your powerful Son of God air into the inflatable doll. It's good to catch yourself lost in me thinking. and then using one tool or another to shift out of it. And in my life, 2004, I have found different tools most helpful at different times, which is why I'm not recommending a tool. I can tell you what tool that I use now, but I would not have been able to use this tool at an earlier time. Right now, it seems like whenever the mind, the attention, gets lost in me thinking, it's like that attention becomes kind of constricted and projected into thought. And I can almost feel that. Like when I catch myself lost in thought, I can feel how it's become very constricted and very projected. It's like a flashlight beam onto the thought. And when I see that, you know, my awareness has become like a flashlight beam focused on thought, I relax, and that light of awareness, just to use the right term, it diffuses, it relaxes, it goes outward in a general way and inward in a general way, and I just be aware of whatever there is now to be aware of. Rather than being focused on thought, I become aware of, I spend a lot of time now, I love it, becoming just aware of the space in the room. Space in the room is something many, many people never bring their awareness to. I love to bring my awareness in the room. Bring my awareness to the sounds. Bring my awareness to feelings, sensations in the body. Bring my awareness to whatever the senses are noticing. I also love to notice that everything is within awareness. You know, I notice that I am awareness and everything is within awareness. Like right now, I'm sitting at my desk, and so some of the things, my keyboard, my computer, my microphone, my Bose radio, etc., etc. But when I'm in that relaxed, general state, I notice awareness as this open emptiness, and it's what I am, right? So I notice myself as this open emptiness. And I notice that everything I see, everything I hear is within me. And I like to just sit without having attention go back into the flashlight beam and back into the thought. I like to just sit in the restful openness of everything in awareness. That's one of my favorite practices now. But again, it doesn't matter what practice you use to bring your attention around the me thinking. I'll tell you one of the early practices that I used, which I think was extremely, extremely helpful, and I really recommend this for anyone else who would like to try it. I used to, again, always start my day with inspiration, always start my day with, whether I was a Course student at the time and contemplating the Course, or an NTI student and contemplating NTI, or a Seven Steps student and contemplating Seven Steps, I love to begin the day with some contemplation. And during contemplation, some thought would arise to me. We talked about this last week as well. Some thought would arise to me. It may come directly from within me, or it may be something that jumps out at me from the book I'm reading. But some thought would arise to me as important for me today. And I would write that thought down and carry it with me throughout the day. And then whenever I noticed my attention was lost in me thinking, which could be grievance thinking, it could be blame thinking, it could be unworthiness thinking, it could be fear thinking, right? It could be, you know, any story at all. All these stories are really about me. Whenever I caught myself in me thinking, I would remember that that's not where I wanted to place my attention. And I would pull that inspiration for the day, that daily bread, out of my pocket, and I would contemplate it again right there on the spot. You see, when I'm contemplating that little thought that I'm carrying with me today, my daily bread, more air is coming out of the doll. So if you remember, again, that you are the Son of God, I love that term in this case, you are the Son of God, you have the power of the Son of God, and whatever you give your attention to, you aliven. And if you also remember that you do want to let that ego sense deflate, then it's going to help you make really reasonable choices about what you do with your attention. Whether you're focusing your attention on a mantra, on a thought for the day, on general awareness, on practicing self-inquiry, whatever. You'll use your attention in such a way that that air can just start seeping out of the ego sense, out of the inflatable doll. The most important key is wanting that awakening or that liberation, or the way I like to word it, wanting to know truth. If you really, really want it, then you will use your attention in a way that is not inflating the ego sense. If you are really still into the me game, your attention will go there, because your attention is going to go where your desire is. So what do you do if you notice that your attention is far more on me thinking than some tool of taking attention off of me thinking? How can you increase your desire so that naturally you'll start turning your attention away from the me thinking because you want it so much? How can you do that? But I can tell you how I do that. I can tell you what is helpful to me. Contemplation, again, and meditation. Contemplation and meditation themselves increase the desire for liberation in me. That daily begging for liberation. So, again, the quote from the Seven Steps to Awakening that we were just looking at, number 731. When the ego sense dies, ignorance perishes, and that is known as liberation. And then the journal entry, how does ego die? Let go of self-thought. Have no interest in it. So I think that's pretty clear to us right now. So why don't we go ahead and go to 732. We have 15 minutes left. Let's have a peek at 732. Alan, let me give you that link. All right, there's 732. So, here is quote 732 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. All these notions exist in the mind. Subdue the mind by the mind. Purify the mind by the mind. Destroy the mind by the mind. Now, immediately when I read that, my first thought, it was an ego thought. You know, you guys ever have those ego thoughts? First thought was an ego thought. And the reason I know it was an ego thought is because I know the ego. And, you know, the ego does not want us to let go of the sense of self. And so the ego looks for opportunities to confuse us when it comes to wisdom. Because if we understand wisdom and follow wisdom, live wisdom, the ego self is doomed. But if we're confused about wisdom, we have doubts and we don't understand, the ego self gets to thrive. So the first thought that showed up when I read this just now was the ego arguing. It was arguing. It was saying, there's something wrong with this quote. Hey. The quote says, Subdue the mind by the mind. Purify the mind by the mind. Destroy the mind by the mind. But you can't do that. You know, even Einstein said that you can't solve a problem with the level of mind that created it. It's trash. Let's throw it away and go on. That's where the ego talks, right? And so what do you do when the ego talks like that? You don't argue with the ego. Never. Because that's also blowing wind in the inflatable doll. The best way to respond when the best way to respond when the ego starts talking like that is to ask a question of wisdom. You know, like let's say you're standing there and you're with, I don't remember the names of the kids in my sixth grade class. So let's say there was a boy named Billy who was kind of a brat, Billy was a bully. Oh, I can see why I picked out the name Billy. It rhymes with bully in a way. Billy, bully, and brat. So let's say there's Billy. He's a little bratty bully. And he's saying something, you know, like, you're never going to learn how to divide. You're too stupid to divide. You're never going to learn how to divide. You don't argue with Billy. You just turn around to Mrs. Bass and you say, Mrs. Bass, is that true? And Mrs. Bass, who's a very good teacher, doesn't say, no, honey. All you have to do is try. You'll learn long division. Right? So when the ego starts giving you some kind of a doubt about something you're reading, you don't listen to the ego and believe it, and you don't argue against it. You just turn your attention to the inner teacher. And you just ask, you know, what does this mean? Or, you know, what's your perspective on this? And I literally did that very quietly. I mean, I'm telling you very quiet, you know, what happened in me very quietly. I mean, just now, I did it very quickly, boom, boom. It's taking longer to tell you than it took for it to happen. But when I started reading this quote to you, the ego started arguing. It even quoted the Einstein quote for me in my mind very quickly. And I very quickly asked inner wisdom, what does this quote mean? And inner wisdom quickly reminded me that there are two interpreters in the mind. The mind isn't just the ego. When the ego was made, the correction to the ego was given in the same moment, and it also resides in the mind. And so when this says subdue the mind by the mind, it doesn't say subdue the ego by the ego. You subdue the ego by the correction. You purify the ego by the correction. You destroy the ego by the correction. Now, Yoga Vasistha, who is who we are reading now, was hundreds of years before A Course in Miracles and did not have the language of A Course in Miracles, right? And so Yoga Vasistha just said, subdue the mind by the mind, purify the mind by the mind, destroy the mind by the mind. But Yoga Vasistha, even though it didn't have the language that we have right now with A Course in Miracles, Yoga Vasistha was not confused. Yoga Vasistha did not think, destroy the ego with the ego. It knew. It knew that there was this corrective aspect of mind that we can also listen to. So all of these notions referring to the ego sense and ignorance, all of these notions exist in the mind. Subdue the mind by the mind is like saying you already have within you everything you need to subdue these notions, to become free of the ego sense and ignorance. Purify the mind by the mind means you already have in you everything you need to let go of every false belief. It's already there. You look within, that's where you find the guidance on how to do this. Destroy the mind by the mind means you already have within you the wisdom that will tell you how to quit enlivening that blow-up doll and let the air out of it so that it will cease to be. That's what this is saying. It's already within you. The moment the ego sense was created, the correction was created too. So if you look within, you will find everything you need to end the ego sense and to end ignorance. So let's look at number 732 in my journal. This is what I wrote on June 4th, 2013 when I contemplated it. The mind has a useful purpose. It can be used to remember what you want. It can be used to obey your command and to shift attention. It can be used to let go of self-thought. Mind can be a tool. Awakened intuition is that which guides the tool. Give attention and interest to awakened intuition. And again, it just happened to me right here. You know, I'm reading a quote, and the ego starts mocking that quote, trying to make the quote useless so that we don't look at it, right? But instead of listening to the mind and going, oh, geez, here I am in front of a bunch of people with a really stupid quote. What am I going to do about this? Instead of getting into that wrong-minded me thinking, I simply asked inner wisdom. And I didn't really ask. There wasn't time. This all happened too quickly. I glanced at inner wisdom with the intention of, what is it that you have to say about this? Like, I didn't pause long enough to actually use those words with inner wisdom. It was an internal glance at inner wisdom with the intention of, what do you have to say about this? And internal wisdom without words quickly gave me the different perspective of what this meant. It was instantaneous. A Course in Miracles, workbook lesson 49, says, God's voice speaks to me all through the day. We hear that much clearer if we're asking all through the day, what do you have to say about this? And again, I'm going to pull out the teachings of Inner Ramana. I'm sure I've done this before. I'm a pretty repetitive person. But you know what? Truth is repetitive. Wisdom is repetitive, right? It really is. So I'm pulling out the teachings of Inner Ramana. I'm opening up to page 8. And page 8 is where the teachings of Inner Ramana is teaching surrender. And the purpose of surrender in the teachings of Inner Ramana is to turn your attention away from the me, me, me talk toward truth, ultimately. And it's using surrender because what happens for most of us during the day is when we're thinking about what we're going to do and we're thinking about how we're going to order our day, we're also thinking about me. You know, what will Jacqueline think if I don't get this task done in time? But, you know, what about Lynn? And, you know, Lynn really needs this and you know, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, and my boyfriend. It sounds like I'm thinking about other people, but I'm thinking about me because I'm thinking about what are they going to think of me if I don't do what's important on their priority list. I'm trying to figure out which one of these people I'm going to give priority to first. Which one do I most want to like me? Right, it's all about me. And this, you know, this is one example of how we order our day. We order our day with me thinking. And so the teachings of Inner Ramana uses surrender instead because it gets us out of all of that me thinking. You just ask, what am I to do now? Right? And intuitively you feel and you go do it. You're not thinking about, what does Jacqueline think of me? What does Lynn think of me? What does my boyfriend think of me? Who do I want to please? You're not doing all of that crap. So you're getting out of the me thinking into the intuition. And it says, the question, what am I to do now, also includes. So you ask throughout the day, what am I to do now? What am I to do now? But that question also includes, how am I to see this? You know, somebody is coming at you, they're mad at you. You ask, what am I to do now? In that case, it really means, how am I to see this? It also means, how shall I listen? How shall I be now? What am I to hear? What would you, meaning inner wisdom, what would you have me know? What is my perspective as given by you? How shall I respond? What shall I think? What would you have me see in me that I'm not seeing? You know, why is this upsetting me? What would you have me see in me that I'm not seeing? It says all of this is in the question, what am I to do now? So the teachings of Inner Ramana teaches you to ask of inner wisdom all day long, what would you have me do now? That's so we can hear God's voice speaking to us all through the day. Right? It's because we're turning our attention. Instead of listening to the loud ego, blah, 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 we turn our attention to the quiet voice for God and we say, what would you have me do now? And it gives us the perspective, or it gives us how we need to hear, or it gives us what we need to see in ourselves, right? And if you practice this for a long time, you get to the point where you actually don't even have to ask the question, what am I to do now anymore? You just glance. And that's what happened to me when I was reading. While I'm reading it to you, I just glanced at inner wisdom. And this is, you know, just an internal, I don't know how to describe it. It's an internal giving your attention to the heart. And inner wisdom gave me the perspective. Because that glance, that turning my attention to inner wisdom, means, what am I to do now? How am I to see this? What would you have me hear, right? And immediately, because God's voice speaks to me all through the day. So, the quote that we're looking at then is really telling us to do this. Because the quote says, all these notions exist in the mind. The loud ego, blah, 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 blah. All these notions exist in the mind. Subdue the mind by the mind. It's like, ask for that other perspective that mind has. Purify the mind by the mind. Ask that other perspective of mind what you need to see. What are you believing that is hurting you right now? The other part of the mind, what tool you can use now to turn your attention away from this ego thinking. Right? The teacher is in you. But you have to ask. If you don't ask, you don't hear. If you don't turn your attention in that direction, you don't get the guidance. So again, the journal entry says the mind has a useful purpose. That would be that corrective aspect of mind, or what the Course calls it. The mind has a useful purpose. It can be used to remember what you want. It can be used to obey your command to shift attention. It can be used to let go of self-thought. Mind can be a tool. Awakened intuition is that which guides the tool. Awakened intuition, which already lives in you right now, is that which guides the tool. Give it intuition and let it guide you step by step. It will give you everything you need to end the ego sense and to awaken from ignorance. Right? And that is the end of my time. So thank you very much again on this holiday weekend for taking time to come and hang out with me. And I hope you will also hang out with my friends who are following, Phil, and then after that, Craig. All right? I'm letting go of the mic.